So we're going to start in Proverbs 31. We're going to celebrate mothers today, but not just mothers. It's not what he told me. Not to celebrate just being a mom. Because you know you can have a baby and be a mom. But really, the way he put it to me was, I want you to celebrate the moms who are on the path of following God. Because that's a much more difficult path than just being a mom. And so we want to celebrate you today. All you ladies who have devoted your life to follow God while you have poured into children. Now, I'm going to include in here spiritual moms. Some of you are spiritual moms. And basically, you know, you can live your life for yourself and sometimes even abandon what God says in the name of family or children. I have to explain that, I think. I had a lady come to me one time and she said, you know, I don't listen to any preachers who don't have perfect kids. And she didn't say perfect kids, but she basically said, that's what she meant, like children like mine. You know, she had five young children and she said, I'm having a hard time finding a pastor to submit to. Because really, unless they have the same standard of child rearing that I have, then I don't think I should listen to them. And I said, well, I don't know if I know a pastor who really has perfect kids. When you talk to someone, you always try to give them truth and not always what they want to hear. What she was wanting to hear was, you are such an amazing woman. Look at how well you do. That gives you authority to not submit to the will of God. You know, I've been sharing the five responsibilities to live by. Those are responsibilities that we hope and believe that one day God will get into each one of those areas of your life and begin to give you specific direction. Work is number one. You don't need to hear God to go get a job. Work until God comes and tells you, I want you to switch jobs. I want to give you focus for something specific. Well, even in mothering and parenting, that's the same way. There's a standard of parenting that we all agree is acceptable, but God, we want God to get involved with us as families and begin to give a specific direction. And when you're living by obedience to God, how many know as a mother, sometimes God's direction is contrary to what all the other mothers in the Mother's Club are doing. And then you look like the oddball out. Like, you do what? You don't do this? I take my child out 10 times a week out to this and this and this, and you do what? You take them to church five times? What? How many times you go to church? You know, you don't have kids church, and you take your kid to church? You know, well, yeah, we don't have teenagers teaching our kids how to hear God. We let them sit at our feet and learn to listen. And so there's some oddball things that will cost you the reputation of a mother of the year in following God. And this one woman, in trying to be truthful and sweet at the same time, I said, well, you know, your kids are still young. We hope and believe they're all going to be healthy, turn out healthy and strong Christians. But sometimes, I remember the old pastor nudging me during the sermon when the young pastor was preaching about raising your kids right, preaching hard, and he nudged me in the ribs. He said, they always preach about raising kids until their kids become teenagers, you know. Because really, your children grow up to be independent, their own people. And we want them to find God on their own and not, you know, I remember as a youth pastor, I tell parents, it's better your kid go through this season of finding themselves than to be a robot and pretend to love God to make you happy and come out on the other side on their own loving God. So don't judge a season as the end. So I told her, I said, well, your kids are still young, you know, and basically she was a at-home mom, homeschooled, and I had to explain to her that, you know, family does not replace obedience. Because you can hide behind family just as much as you can hide behind anything. See, if it was up to my mama, now, I would, if I were going to talk about moms, the best moms, I would talk about my mama and how great she is. But we're talking about women who've given their life to the gospel, moms who have yielded over their life to the will of God instead of just being a good mama. Does that make sense? Because sometimes in obeying God, it causes you to do things that other mamas don't think are the best. And that's the same as being a father. You know, I learned early on when God told me to not go make money, to sit and pray and don't do anything. And my concern was Christy was pregnant at that moment. And my concern was, how am I going to take care of my family? Well, I found out that God's much better at taking care of my family than I ever would be. Let me say that again. That God is much better at taking care of my family. In fact, before we go to Proverbs 31, let's head over to 1 Samuel chapter 6. I had a girl come in in Tennessee. We had an unwed mother's home. And thank God for the little girls that at least they didn't go through abortion. Their family gave up on them. They had no family to help them. So they would come and spend a few months with us until they gave birth, and we'd help them get started on their feet in raising their kids. But I remember we had a couple over the home that would have rules in the house, like you have to get up at a certain time, you have to do chores in the house, you had to come to church, you had to come to the Bible school some. And one girl marched into my office, and she said, "I just can't stand it." And little belly sticking out, little 16-year-old girl, "I just hate it." So what's wrong? Those people there, they're telling me what to do. Who are they to tell me what to do? They're telling me when to get up, when to go to bed, clean this, wash that, cook this, do this. I can't stand it. It's not right. And I started to laugh at her. And she got mad at me. I said, "Listen, in a few months, your little belly, you're going to have another person tell you what to do. And that little baby's going to tell you when to get up, when to go to bed. And when to cook, when to clean, what to cook." I said, that's being a mama, that's life, you know. And many girls can talk about being a mama until they actually become a mama. You can ask us dads when we have to be mama for a day. It's like, wow, that little sucker drained all my life out of me. Just, you know, nonstop. Like, can I get a break? Can't you go over there, you know, let's get, you know. Now, when we talk about moms, I know you got to be careful because you can get labeled as a chauvinist being a man talking about moms. You know, some moms love to be at home, cook, clean, everything from scratch. Some love to be at home teaching their kids. Some love to work. And so one group will get mad at me, another group will get mad at me. So y'all may like me at the end or everyone will get mad at me for some reason. I'm not sure. But all moms are great, just to be clear. Whatever direction you go. Let's see, let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 7. "Now therefore," this is God giving instructions, "make a new cart. Take two milk cows where they have never been yoked and hitch the cows to the cart and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart and put the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in the chest by his side and send it away and let it go." Then he says, verse 9, "And watch, if it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance." Now the Philistines had the Ark of the Covenant and all these bad things started happening to them. And so they decided, okay, let's do a plan. And they tried to hear from God. Let's put this stuff on the ark on a new cart with two milk cows who just had calves. That's why they're milk cows. They just had calves. And take their calves away from them and put the ark on it. Now, if, verse 9, "And watch, if it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know it's not his hand that struck us." So if the milk cows walk away from their calves to the home, away from their home, and take the ark with them, they know they're following God and going against their nature. Otherwise, he's saying, there's no way on earth you're going to get a mama cow to leave its calf. And so, just to be clear, I'm not calling any woman a cow here. All right? These are slim, good-looking, the best-looking cows in the world right here. I just don't want any of you ladies mad at me today, so just to be clear. The man did so. They took two milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart and the chest with the golden rats and images of their tumors. And when the cows headed straight for the road to Beth-Shemesh and went along the highway, look at this, lowing as they went and did not turn aside to the left or the right, or the right hand or the left, and the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth-Shemesh. So these mama cows, you know, obeying God, lowing, which was, I don't know if that's complaining as much as herding, left their nature of a mama, left it to follow God. Now, if it's up to my mama, I'd be living in Canada right next door to her, and she'd be happy as can be, and I'd have home-cooked meals from her every Saturday, Sunday, and probably on Friday, too. And, you know, when I first moved down to Tennessee, I said, Mama, I'm leaving for a year. And she always complains. She says, you told me 1 year. I said, well, that's how God told me, but then he told me more when I got there. You know, I left my country and my family to follow God. My mom misses me. You know, she wants to mother me in my age of growing up. Every mama does. How many have kids that live away from home? And you wish mamas you had more into them and could pour into them and such. Well, God directed me to step out of my family unit into my Christian family unit for a reason. I don't know the whole reason. My mom has missed out on me growing up for 20 years. It's different when you visit, go home and visit, than if you're living in the same town. Or, ladies, if your daughter-in-law doesn't like you, you better start being nice to your daughter-in-law. Because as soon as they have little kids, you're going to find out that you wish you were nice to your daughter-in-law. Just throwing that out there. Don't get mad at me, anyone. But because once the kids start showing up, everything changes. You get married, it's all romantic and great and fun, and your wife's perfect. And then she gets pregnant, and then she turns into some crazy lady. Like, all of a sudden, what was good isn't good enough. Like, she starts nesting. Like, I want to have this. Well, you don't need to have that. I remember fighting with my wife over Harrison, because we tried to get pregnant for 2 years, and it wasn't working. And my mom got on to me. She said, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? You know, have you tried going to the doctor? No, we're standing on the word. Well, you know, when you were young, I had you go through a lot of x-rays, and maybe you better get it checked. And I said, Mom, the word's enough, you know. And I said, if I go down the doctor's, that's a road that once you start, you know, it's better just stand on the word for this. And that's the path we took. And finally we got pregnant, and, you know, things that were acceptable as a couple were not acceptable anymore as a couple getting ready to have a baby. And she wanted to get, you know, it's okay if you have lots of money, but you don't have lots of money, everything's, you know. We need to get a change table. Yeah, like, you know, she wanted a diaper thing that looked like a dresser drawers. And I said, we have dresser drawers. Just slap that baby on top of it and, you know, and change the baby. No, we needed a changing table, which had little bars to protect the baby falling off. And I mean, who lets go of their baby when you're changing them, you know? And because a changing table is $200 if you get a nice, fancy, dancy one compared to a dresser, which we have already here. I can take the stuff out of the dresser, put baby stuff in there, and we'll tape some safety bars around it, you know? And so, but, you know, that's a man's answer. Hey, duct tape the kid every time you You change the diaper, the baby won't be fine. Change the baby on the floor. It won't, you know, who needs special design bars, you know, and we need a crib. We need, I mean, pretty soon it's like, this kid's going to cost me a lot of money. What is this? That's why when people say, well, we're waiting to save up before we have kids, it's like, you'll never have kids. The kid will teach you by their crying. They'll teach you, you know, the best thing the doctor told us was, babies cry. It's okay. Get used to it. You know, and so being a woman who's willing to follow the will of God, being a mama is what I'm talking about today, willing to follow the will of God, I know has cost you. And God wants me to honor you today by saying thank you for following the will of God over worldly natural instincts. Because in following the will of God, instead of following your natural instincts, now I'm not covering for excuses of people who abandon their kids to go off onto silly mission works and doing stuff. I'm talking, you know, within the realm of good sense. Can I say it like that? The author of the book, I don't know if you know this story, but he's from the same city that I was raised in and born in. And his parents went on a mission trip, New Guinea, I think it was. And in the name of missions, they abandoned him to the tribe. So he was raised within a tribe that was full of sexual abuse and abuse. And then, I mean, he was broken by the time he got into adulthood, a broken human being. And in the name of his parents going into missions. See, I don't believe that. You know, that to me is mismanagement of God won't ask you to ever abandon your children or the responsibility of your children in the name of serving God. See, he's like that. He won't ask you to abandon yourself. He won't use you. He may one day ask you to be a martyr and that, but it's because he asked you and you followed him willingly, not in the name of, I'm going to do a good work for God and my family's going to suffer. That's been an insult to God for years in the church. Sacrificing our children in the name of serving God. So within the realm of spiritual common sense, let me say it this way. For you to follow God has taken you to the place where you've had to trust God and place the desires of your heart for your children into His hands and trust that He's the one to make it come to pass. And that is, in my view, going against the very nature of a mama. And that has cost you. I know. How many, am I talking okay? Does that make sense what I said? Okay. Just make sure I'm good with the girls. Okay. And so for all you ladies who have either raised kids, you now, some of you are grandmas and your grandkids live in a different city. And everything in you wants to move into that city so you can be there with your grandkids. But you know God's will is not to do that. But see, that's you going against... In following God, you're trusting God with your grandkids. You've gone from looking to just this world for your grandkids to looking to the next world to say, I may not be there at all their sporting events like I wish I could be, but my God, they're all going to be in heaven and we'll spend eternity with them because I'm in the will of God. I asked God about that one time for me personally. I said, God, why is it that you won't let me move back to my family? I got a bunch of family that need Jesus. And I could harass them in the church. Trust me. If I lived there, I would get them in the church. I mean, I would manipulate. I would trick. I would pressure. I would make promises. And I'll buy you the biggest steak afterwards. Let's go. Whatever it takes, I would get them in the church. And I said, God, why do you have me here 3,000 miles away from my family when I want them in the church? I want them saved. And God told me, He said, you pray for them. That's all you need to do. And what He shared with me was, on your path of obedience to me is every answered prayer for the salvation of your family. See, He took it out of my hands and my doing and put it into His hands. Where I was still protecting my family and witnessing to them into heaven, but not by me doing it, but by me obeying God and praying for them and living a life of serving Him and being His will. I have trust that He'll take care of my family. and that he'll send the perfect witnesser to them, not the harassing brother, to come and get them. So I know in following God is cost you. Now, when your kids are young, that's the hardest time. That's your busiest time when you have young kids of your life. You know, you think it's when they're infants is busy. Wait until they get a little older and you got a couple of them. They're soccer, band, choir. You know, we have a joke where your kid's in the sports and you're in the playoffs, which means if you win, you go to the next Saturday and you're cheering, go, 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 but you're wishing, no, hope they lose today so we can get off next Saturday. You know, because then the season's over and hallelujah, we can take a break from practice and, you know, and so being with your kids when they're young is busy. And so for you to be a good parent and pour into your children and not abandon the spiritual side, the spiritual growth, the place that it costs you, if you're a good mama, is your free time. It costs you your free time. Again, God's saying thank you. You know, good job, because you being a mama who desires to follow God is much more difficult than a mama who lives in the world. Just like that one woman I talked to who had all her perfect kids, but they were still young, you know. You know, she was hiding behind the worldly image of family to say that was more important than her obeying and listening and following God. Because she was taking care of her kids. God will demand for a woman, a mother, who follows God to release the care, and not the daily care, but the planning, the direction of taking care of your children into his hands. So he can lead you and focus you and your family around his calling. Am I still preaching okay? All right, good. And I know that costs every woman who has done that. When I asked Christy to marry me, I said, I can't promise you nice houses or nice cars or a nice life because I'm not chasing those things. I'm chasing God, and I'm going to follow God my whole life. And I said, if you marry me, I'll get your rewards in heaven, though, you know, because I can promise you that. You know, well, that was fine when we were single, but then you start throwing kids in the mix. When you're following God as a family, you have to mold your family structure around the will of God. So, for instance, Christy's birthday and Harrison's birthday are on April 18th, the same day, which I was proud of. She didn't like that, but I was happy about that. I said, don't ever say I never gave you a birthday present. And Ava's birthday is May the 13th, which is yesterday. She's 9 years old today. And all 9-year-olds, hold your hand up. She's getting mad at me at the minute. Yeah. Oh, there's one back there too. But because in my calling as a preacher, it started to require traveling. Now, we traveled together. I crammed Christy and our little kids into the back seat of a car while we would travel and preach for some years. And how many know that's a lot of work when you travel, like we go for a whole month sometimes. Ladies, think about that. You got a little infant or a baby and you got to travel for a month. Well, how much packing goes involved with that? You know, 15 hotel rooms and 4 different churches kind of thing. And who knows what the weather's going to be like. Our first travel attempt, our back seat was full of luggage with everything possible she can carry. And Harrison in his car seat in the back, because it has to legally be in the back, facing the back window. So he spent a number of years of his life looking out the back window of a car, hearing mom and dad talk in the front, covered in luggage, you know. And, you know, eventually she got better more skills. Our luggage became smaller. But when Harrison started going to school, it made it more difficult for us to travel. So that required me traveling out on an airplane and being gone for a week or two and coming back. One trip I went on, and I drugged John along with me. We went on to another nation, and we were gone for about 10 days, which left our wives taking care of their children. And Which is okay if you're in the world because you come back with more money, you know. But as a preacher, sometimes you come back with less money. And this trip, we went to a country, ate good meals, but the offering was very sad in the sense of they gave me some money, and I thought it was for spending in this country because it was in that country's money. And so I commanded John, another guy who showed up with us, I said, okay, we got $300. You know, when we go preach out of the prayer center, we don't require anything. We don't require a hotel. We're happy to stay where you want us to stay. We don't require offerings. So I'm not belittling the $300. You know, I preached 7 hard days, but I don't belittle the $300. But what was funny was when they gave it to me, we thought they said, the pastor wants to give you spending money to shop with. And so I commanded John and the other guy that came to visit us, we split it up 3 ways, $100 each. We're spending every dollar on gifts to take home with us because the offering's coming later. We'll talk about that later. After we spent, I got T-shirts and, you know, $100 worth of T-shirts and souvenirs. We got back to the hotel, and I looked at the envelope where I took out the spending money and had the word spelt in their language, honorarium. And I thought, was that the honorarium that he meant, not spending money? So the next day before we left, every time he scratched his pocket, I was like waiting for something else. So we came home after 10 days away from our family saying, your husband's went to blank to blank country, and all they brought me back was a T-shirt. And, you know, it's different if a man goes away and comes back with something and blesses the wife with, you know. And so it's a sacrifice for you, like for our birthdays. That's how it got me started on this. Many times traveling with Pastor Dave to Brazil, that country I'm talking about was not Brazil, by the way. His conference would fall on, the January conference fell on my birthday, and the April conference fell on Christine Harrison's birthday. So our family has developed the celebrating of birthdays never on the actual birthday. We have a celebration around the work of the gospel. We still celebrate the birthdays. And on the day we cheer and sing happy birthday, but they get an extra real celebration whenever it works around the work of the gospel. And so your family in following God, men and women, is going to cost you the price of being normal. I get to do this. We get to go on picnics all the time. We get to do this. Yes, you do. If it doesn't interfere with the work of the gospel that God has for you. You have to make your family understand. You have to train your kids. You got to train your parents. You got to train your brothers and sisters. My life isn't like yours. We don't get to do what everyone else does because we are obedient to the gospel of Christ. That's different than activities of just doing everything as you want. I'm talking about when God has given you instructions. If it was the best, if I were to look in the natural, what would be best for my family? You know, Christy's mom is a great pastor in Paris, Tennessee. Her whole family's there. If we got married and we did what we thought was best, I would go over there and be pastoring with her in Paris, Tennessee, and have a mama there and a grandma there and a great-grandma there and cousins and everything else. Well, don't you know that we've had to develop that family structure within our church family because God has put us here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So if you're here and you're a grandma and you got no kids, no grandkids around, or you want to be a grandma, look around. There's lots of little kids around here. Go bother them. Say, I'll be a grandma for a Saturday. Because some of these young people don't have actual grandmas here because they follow God. Well, go get them. They say, I don't want you. Say, too bad. I asked God and your name came to mind. You're eating my cooking every Saturday. I'm watching your kids every... And it won't be long. You'll wear them down, Grandma, and they'll be like, here. They'll be calling you. I want to go on a date with my husband. You take the kids. And you'll be at all school plays, all the choir practices. There's lots of room for grandmas in here. If you're bored, circle around the nursery a few times. Say, no. You go in service. I'll watch your kid. There's lots of room for grandmas in here. There's lots of room for mamas in here. You know, if you're missing your mom, find a sweet lady around here that looks like she needs a young daughter to take her out for lunch. It does say in Scripture, let the older women teach the younger women. There's some things you can learn. You can learn how to be a better wife from someone who's been through it. You can learn how to be a better cook. You can learn anything you want. If you're missing a mom or you got some extra time, find a sweet little lady walking around who looks like she could use some daughter time. Say, we're going to go out. You're going to go and cook for me. My mom, I would go home to visit my mom when I was single. And I would take all my dirty clothes for like a month and cram them into my suitcase. So my suitcase was full of crumbled up, stinky clothes. And when I got to her house to visit her when I was in my 20s and single, I'd get to visit her and we'd unzip it. The odor would rise up. She'd be, "What's this? I brought my laundry for you to do for me." She would be complaining, "I can't believe she's throwing it in there. You brought this stinky clothes. You're a big enough boy. You can fold your own clothes." And the whole time she was loving every minute of it. She loved to both do it and to complain that I finally got something to complain about and I got something to do for my son. Because most mamas, the way they receive is they give first. See, that's why when someone comes to give you something, if you say, no, I don't want it, then you've also stopped them from receiving. We had a guy one time show up at our church. What a character in Tennessee. And he's in a wheelchair. We got him out of the wheelchair. He had a problem with alcohol his whole life. And one day he showed up to church and the usher was walking in from the back and with the little offering thing and passing down the offering plate and pulled out a dead rabbit out of his jacket and was going to put it in the offering plate. And the usher said, "Oh, we don't take those here." And so Freddie got offended. Like, "We got a soup kitchen down there. I shot that rabbit fresh today." He was so offended that we wouldn't receive his offering. I had to tell the ushers, "Okay, from now on, if you get a dead rabbit, just receive it." So mamas, but also a lot of times mamas want to give. So it's okay. You don't have to, I don't know how I'm getting all this, but there is a gospel family that you belong to on a path of following God. If you're a lonely grandma, it's your fault, is what I'm saying. Find someone, win them over, you'll have no problem. If you're a lonely daughter, I know your mom will get mad at me for saying this, but there's someone here who needs a daughter to go out for lunch with once in a while. Find someone. And the trust that you have to have in following God as a mom is much more difficult than it is for anyone else, I believe, in the gospel. Because every step into God's will, once you have kids, requires trusting your children, your grandchildren, your family in His hands, where you want to go and fix it. You want to go and take care of it. When our kids fall and get hurt, it's mama they run to mostly. Because mama's the one who's going to make them feel like champions. And dad's usually like, "Are you bleeding? No? Okay. Go talk to your mom." So no matter where you are as a mom, if you got grown-up kids living in a different state, if you got young children, if you're a spiritual mom and you're pouring into moms, other girls, listen. God bless you for your steps. God bless you for your obedience. We want to celebrate you today. And we want to celebrate all moms, but today here at the Prayer Center, I feel we want to celebrate the moms who have obeyed God to follow Him at the cost of doing what they wanted to do practically for their family. What we found in our family is we make everything revolve around our walk with God. My parents will call me, Christy's mom will call her, and "Hey, I want to come visit." And they get so puzzled why we have to schedule them in. It's like, well, this is our life. Our life first goes with the gospel. And then we have, see, the world wants to train us and has trained the church how to maybe be good family centers, but it doesn't always work around the will of God. That's why to have a healthy marriage is first about the will of God. Some of you ladies, you understand this. When your spouse doesn't have the same zeal to follow God as you do, and he wants to take you off some other path, But you know, in doing that, you're leaving the will of God, which has taken you back in control over your family. So when your husband says, hey, I'm the head of the house, you just follow me and be quiet. You just say, when you make Jesus your head, then I'll follow you. You see, you're allowed to do that. In defense of our family will follow the will of God. Oh, I'm preaching. So let's go over to Proverbs 31. I'll save myself with some scripture here. All the hours of prayer that you've done, we used to have a lady, she was a nurse. Her husband was a doctor. She had the really good kids in church. I kind of came from the, you know, across the tracks family that found church, you know. But she always had an intercession every, I think it was Thursday night. And I remember going to her one time saying, as a young person, 18 years old, I like to learn how to pray. She invited me into her intercession group, which was a bunch of ladies who would get together and intercede. Now, I'm talking real intercession, not the ones where they try to teach each other and prophesy to each other. I'm talking about women who get down and dirty and beat the devil off of other people and yield over to the Spirit. And so my first experience with a bunch of these ladies in the intercession group, I was the only man, and I was only 18, and was like they were speaking the word, confessing the word, praying over families, and it was intense, praying in tongues, and my hair kind of blew back. But I went back every Thursday, and she taught me the importance of praying in tongues and taught me to pray. Way back then, I learned the first step of prayer. That's a woman who had an influence on me that wasn't my mother, but I would call her a spiritual mom at one point in my life. So by setting the example, let me just say this, by setting the example, by being in church, by not leaving the course, you know, one of the things that disappoints me the most when I see mature, older Christians, how do I say this? Talking about this local church right here. This local church. God sent me to this local church. God's the only one who can make me leave this local church. I don't care what happens in this local church. This is where God put me. And he knew what it'd be like when he sent me here. And he knew that you'd be sitting there when he sent me here too. The most disturbing thing in my heart is when I see an adult, grown person who claims to be a leader, mature, a father figure or a mother figure, when they begin in a local church to cause division or separate themselves, to me that breaks my heart the most, because the example they're setting to the younger generation is horrible. Instead of showing maturity, honor, respect, determination, all those things, they're teaching the younger generation it's okay to give up. When you don't like it, quit. When you don't like what's said, tell everyone. To me, that's being an example is the greatest form of mothering in the Spirit than anything else. More than baking a cake, more than being the loudest prayer, more than being the best counselor, the greatest advisor, greatest thing you can do is be an example to the people around you. All right, so verse 10, Proverbs 31. Verse 10, we'll start there. We all know this, but we'll just read through it. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so she'll have no lack of gain. So she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out by night. Now, we're talking about mamas here, but I want you to see here, this is a challenge to all you ladies out there, where a lot of the generation nowadays are not like the older generation. You know, the older generation had to take care of business. It didn't matter how much money you had, you still made it work. You know, there's a lot of prosperity in America where if you rip a shirt, you just go get a new one. Or not too long ago, you'd have to know how to sew to fix it. You couldn't afford to go out to eat twice a week, so you'd have to make sure your meals were planned. And there was a season where a number of us, if even you, were following God where he had you not work as much. And so that meant that you had to learn to eat with less. You had to plan your meals out, you know, buy a chicken, cook it, eat it for that one. But also think in your head, okay, we got a chicken for today. How do we use that chicken for the next 3 days? Some of you ladies know how to make chicken soup the real way. You know, you've done made your own. It's healthier and cheaper, but it was out of necessity, not out of, you know, skills. And so a lot of today, there's a lot of women who say, well, just take me as I am. I just want a man of God who'll just take me as I am. And I had one young guy tell me, he said, I got a girl, and I really like her. She's really pretty, but she backslides quite a bit. But she's praying in tongues now, really good. And I want to marry her. What do you think? What do you think? And, you know, this girl's backsliding was pretty good, you know, like real backsliding, not just skipping church. And I said, well, you can look at it two ways. If you marry her, you're going to spend a good couple of years trying to fix her. You know, just because she prays in tongues, that's a great thing. But there's another girl around the corner that's already fixed. And it's better to marry her and walk from there than to spend all this time fixing this. So my advice is hold your jets and either let her deal with God and get fixed, or find one that started off fixed, you know. But I'm trying to get all the women not to be mad at me. So a lot of young ladies say, well, just take me as I am. I'll be the type of mom that just does what I want and you know, and the type of, but when you're following God, you have to lay that down. You have to, and this is a woman here, it says, this is a godly woman. One preacher said, well, my wife's Proverbs 12:1 woman. And he almost got beat up for that one. And stick with Proverbs 31. I know all of you are going to turn to Proverbs 12. You can after the service. But here it's saying that the heart, when a woman begins to follow God, she's not just good at being there for the husband. She's not just good at being there for the kids. She has got a purpose and a place and a calling. You know, so if a lady came to me and said, I want to marry a man of God, my first thing is, well, be a woman of God. Don't wait for him to come to be a woman of God. But see, wherever you feel in your heart, see, being a mom, a good mama means you live your life never for yourself anymore. Amen. There's some women who have given birth to babies. Yeah, some of them are your actual parents that live their life for themselves. And they may have fed you, they may have clothed you, but they weren't living for you. But now you have twice the task as a woman of God, a mother of any capacity, even if your children are grown or a spiritual mama, where you don't only not live your life for yourself, but you don't run your life for your children either. You follow God's will. You live your life for your children through the call of God and the will of God. That's a better way of saying that. That you live your life for your family and your children through the call of God in your life. That doesn't limit you on any capacity. If you feel like you're supposed to work and make money, like this woman made money, but it means you're involved every day with your family. The biggest thing you'll learn with family is you can't live it for yourself. And mamas are usually the best example of that. Someone who laid their life down for their family. But for you ladies, it's lay your life down for your family through the will of God, which is much, you could have fixed many things if you would have just yielded and you didn't yield. You stayed on the will of God. You're still following God. You're still praying. And God's honoring you today. Verse 17. This is a Proverbs 31 woman. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, yet she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household is clothed with scarlet. Now, why this is important is because it shows a woman who thinks ahead. You know, when you're a mama, you think ahead. It's like magic. My kids' clothes are magic. They just keep having clothes that fit when they need it. And, I mean, my mother-in-law has already purchased next year's Easter outfit for Ava. And I'm thinking, how do you know what size she's going to be next year? How does that work? You know, maybe I'm not metro enough to understand how that stuff works. But in my wife's world, that stuff works. You think ahead, we're going to need, you know, our fridge is full. My wife goes grocery shopping and picks out enough eggs for the week and knows how much food we're going to eat. And the reason this woman is not afraid of the snow, because she has thought ahead, prepared, and made sure that all her kids will have the right size clothing. It's no good if your kids aren't clothed and, oh, I got your clothes from last year. Don't fit, Mom. Well, I'll squeeze into it anyway. You know, Mom is too busy. I'm making some moms happy now, and some moms are like, shh. Let me just do my thing. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes on the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. So in other words, she's not ever idle. Most good moms, they don't get a break. You know, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Ladies, you don't have to be the classic mom to be a great woman of God in the Scripture, from Scripture's place. You don't have to look to your past and say, well, I didn't raise my kids right. I was selfish when I was young. I was worldly when I was young, and I messed my kids up. Listen, you didn't mess them up. You can move on and trust God with them, and God will restore. But the most important thing you look at is my kids and my grandkids and my great-great-grandkids will all be in heaven because of me. They won't complain about you when they're in heaven. They won't be, well, you weren't here when I was two. I don't think you can complain in heaven. I don't know what that is. Although they'll say, you're the best mom ever. You got us into heaven. Whatever your past is, get over it and be thankful that you're on this path now. I remember visiting my grandma. I hadn't seen her in 5 years, and my natural dad passed away when I was four, and so I didn't grow up with my grandma, Nana Robidoux. And I went to see her, and when I had seen her, I looked just like my dad, and there was a kind of a healing in her, and she wasn't saved. And my grandma, Nanny Robidoux, looked at me and said, I always regret, because your dad, my father, earthly father, Frank Robidoux, wanted to be a priest when he was young. And she said, I never let him. And I always regret that because I believe he would not have died if I would have let him be a priest. And I said, well, I wouldn't be here then, so good thing. Because they're not allowed to get married, you know. But I knew then that there was a chance that my earthly dad found salvation before he died. And we know that God does not just pick people individually to help, that he has to work through vessels on this earth, right? Otherwise, we'd all be perfect by now. So I asked my grandma, Nanny Robidoux, who wasn't saved, I said, was there anyone who went to church? Because I knew that somebody had prayed for my family lineage. Someone in the Rodu family had prayed, was a praying woman or praying man. Somebody was praying, and that carried on to the next generation. And I found out I had a great-great-grandma somewhere who was a praying lady. So even your praying now for your family, even when you leave this earth, do you know that you're going to have an impact on the generations to come? Not just by your example, but by your willingness to follow God, to live your life for the gospel, and not just for your family. Because I know in many of you it's cost you to follow God. And God wants to say thank you today. He wants to honor you today, you mamas who have been there for your family, but have done it through following God. We want to honor you today and say thank you for being such a great example. I know we're not honoring how many kids and who's the newest kid today. Maybe we'll do that next year. But this year we want to honor you. All you ladies who laid your life down for the gospel, want you to know that you are setting an example for the next generation, that you can serve God, take care of your family, and God will take care of them for you, with you. And you don't abandon the mama heart by following God. Amen. I want to pray before we close. I want to pray for those who, if you want to get pregnant, I brought that up earlier, and I know that it can be hard on you if you desire in your heart to be pregnant. And you've tried to get pregnant. You're married, of course. But you desire to get pregnant. And we want to pray for you. Because that's God's heart, too. And we believe the Word of God is true. Amen. And that if it's on your heart to have a child, God, it's on God's heart, too, for that to happen. Will you stand and let us pray for you, if you would? I love Pastor Dave when he'd pray for it. He'd always say, now, just be careful, because the anointing of getting pregnant will always carry us over to the first three rows. Then everyone scatters. That's my favorite line. So if you're here today and you desire, or you know someone who desires to be pregnant and they're having a difficult time, whatever the reason, it doesn't matter, then we believe God's healing is here for that. And in His Word, it's here. So if that's you, please stand, and we will pray for that to be true. Amen. It says in Psalms 113:9, He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for your scripture that says it is your will that any woman who desires to have a baby, that your word says that's your will too. So we speak the word today over them. We thank you in Jesus' name that they will get pregnant. Father, we thank you that it's settled and done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Women of God, thank you for being women of God, and thank you for being an example of laying your family at the altar of God in a healthy way. And truthfully, we thank God that every one of your children, children's children, and your family, because you're in the will of God, will make it to heaven. Amen? Amen. And Father, let's just pray that. Father, we thank you as we devote our life to your will. Today, as we honor the moms, but also as the families, as we yield our family to your will, we thank you that we will see our family members, our loved ones, our children, our children's children, even if we weren't perfect in their past, we will be great in their future. And we thank you that we will see them all in heaven, and we will have eternity to rejoice together. And all that we've missed out in following you will be given back to us with great celebration for eternity. We thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See you again soon. God bless you. You are released. Happy Mother's Day.